Okay, so I hear you like books.
Why, yes, I do.
That's right. When I was your age, television was called books. And this is a special book.
Because when you read a book as a child, it becomes part of your identity in a way that no other reading in your whole life does. And I have gotten carried away.
Yeah. Yeah, you have.
Are you seeing the books? Everything you would want to read is right here. Feel it. Feels good, right? Just smell it. Nothing smells like that.
Welcome, friends, to episode 17 of Reading the Newberries, a team friendship podcast. I'm Leah, one of the co-hosts, joined today by my fellow podcasters, Lauren.
Hello, friends.
And Mandalay.
What up, friends?
And I guess that's a good lead-in to our first topic, that we have an announcement to make.
We have an announcement. We changed the name of our podcast.
And I'm leaving.
Great.
Just kidding.
We've had a dispute.
Falling out, as it were.
No, just kidding.
Yes. So we were decided to be a little bit more clear in our title. We've been to a few book things recently, and it's just a little bit difficult to explain why we're called Team Friendship and, like, Team Friendship in a 2-second conversation with someone. So reading the Newberries is a little bit more clear.
Yeah, because that's what we do. We read the Newberries, guys.
And we think everyone should read the Newberries. And we might even make a t-shirt that says so.
Yeah, we might.
Send in your
like
vote.
T-shirts.
I know we talk about that a lot, but we're getting a lot closer.
We're getting so close, guys.
Just a couple more months of some business meetings.
Been researching. Eventually, I'll have a day where I feel like making phone calls. That only happens about once every 3 months.
So it's all, fingers crossed, it's going to be soon.
Yeah, maybe before the end of the year.
That I can promise.
Anyway, are we ready to jump into our For the Love of Books? Am I supposed to read this full description?
No.
It's very detailed.
I was just reminding us what For the Love of Books was.
I'll just books tell you. We are reading.
There we go. Or book-related things we have been into lately.
And I didn't want you guys to just feel like it was books you were reading, because it could be other things.
It's true. There's a lot of book love out there.
You're trying to include me now?
We've always included you. Like, we've always done this.
We're just being clear.
I just wanted to remind us.
And it's good for the people to know what to expect.
Right. If they're like, we don't know what this is. Now you
know.
Now
you know. Wow.
Who wants to go first?
I can go first. I took a lot of effort for me to get through this book. Not because it was bad. I just had a hard time finding clear time to read it.
Indeed.
I think we've just all been kind of busy.
Yeah,
this
it's been really
past
busy
month.
Yeah. Really busy month. So I've been reading The Doldrums via audiobook. It's a cute little book.
What's it about?
So it's about this little boy who lives in this amazing house, and his grandparents are explorers, but they've been lost on an iceberg, supposedly. And he just has this desire for adventure, but his mother will not allow it. Like, he's not allowed to leave his house. And so I'm only maybe halfway through.
He's like a male Rapunzel.
Kind of. Like, he goes to school and stuff, but other than that, he has to come straight home. And so we're going to find out how he finds adventure and where his grandparents are.
Well, that's easy. Just dip off after school one day.
He's a very obedient child, apparently. So
I read Rami Nightingale by Kate DiCamillo, and I loved it. We've talked about this book before, but if this is your first time listening or you don't remember what this book is about, it's about a little girl who her father has just run off with another woman, and so she thinks that if she wins this local, like, pageant contest, she'll get her picture in the paper, and her dad will see it, and he'll come back. And so it's kind of her story, and she has two other friends in the story, and each one of the girls in the story is just a very well-rounded character, and Kate does a really good job. And so Kate has written another book, kind of like a, don't know if it's a sequel or a follow-up or a spin-off or I don't know what the technical term is, but it, one of the other girls is getting her own story. So that book is Louisiana's Way Home, and that will be coming out in October, I believe. So I'm looking forward to that because Louisiana is really funny. So
I am also looking forward to that. She's a fun character.
Yeah. I also read Chasing Utopia by Nikki Giovanni, which is just a collection of her poems and essays. One of my favorite essays in there was one she wrote to like a magazine or something. It's called In Defense of Flowers. And it's basically about how, like, when people have funerals, they'll say, in lieu of flowers, send money to such and such. And she's like, it should be like in addition to flowers, because flowers like bring joy. Aww. And like, you know, like they bring joy and happiness. And I don't know, I agreed with her on that. So it was nice.
Nobody ever listens to that anyway.
There's always flowers. Yeah. Please keep sending flowers, guys. It makes people happy. I also recently listened to A Bear Called Paddington by Michael Bond on audiobook with Nora, my daughter. We've started listening to audiobooks at breakfast time, which is really delightful. And so this one is narrated by Stephen Fry. And so he's, you know, he's a British actor and he just has a delightful narrator's voice. So once we finish that, like, we still haven't found another one to listen to because I'm just like, yeah, nothing's the same.
Nothing will be good enough.
I know. I need another British person. So that one was delightful. And one more, Ashley Eckstein. So she was an actor as a child, like on the Disney Channel and stuff. She plays the voice of Ahsoka Tano in Star Wars, The Clone Wars, yes, and Star Wars Rebels. Anyway, so she started her own company called Her Universe, and she, like, makes clothing for girls that's geeky, so Star Trek, Star Wars, Studio Ghibli, yeah, Marvel, all of it. Doctor Who. Anyway, so she has recently written a book. She's on a book tour right now. Ooh. And
oh, yeah, we
so,
talked about that.
Yeah.
I love how I forget things and can get excited again.
So I think she's coming to our area. She's going to be at a mall very close to us. She's going to be at Woodfield. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think I'm
going
to go.
Are we going? When is
it? I mean, it's a Thursday and it's like from 2 to 4 in the afternoon. So if you guys want to take off work and come, you can. But I understand if you can't. But I think I'm going to go. Mm-hmm. So
I might come down with an illness,
right,
or something.
Yeah, I really want. I'm like, she's
don't
gonna
comment
be this close.
In case my boss listens right to this.
I really want to go meet her.
Won't say what day it is.
Right. Yeah, I'm not gonna. We'll put a link in the show notes for her with her
Mandy
tour schedule
calls in on any Thursday.
I was kind of, I guess jealous isn't. I don't know. I was upset a little bit because she's married to David Eckstein, who used to play for the Cardinals. He was on.
Yes.
He was on the team that won the first World Series, like, in my lifetime, basically. Like,
that was
2006.
2006.
Yeah. So I just, like, love her even more because she's married to him. But anyway,
she's
so
got good
he's,
taste.
He's been on her tour with her here and there, and they were recently at a Cardinals game.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
Dude, if yeah. we could go and meet her and him.
And I think, like, everybody, like, or, like, the first so many people got a copy of her book and, like, something signed from him.
Oh,
and
that's
I was,
awesome.
Like,
I shall
and they're so cute. They're so
go.
Cute, they together, cute together. Yeah. So anyway, basically her book is the story of, like, it's I think it's like an autobiography, but it's very inspirational, like how you can make your dreams come true. She's very inspired by Walt Disney. She grew up in Disney World. Her dad had a job at Disney World, and so she just grew up down there and
freaking
was just,
awesome.
Yeah, very inspired. So I'm excited to read the book. It's called It's Your Universe. You Have the Power to Make It Happier.
Oh, that's a nice name.
So she's kind of all about accomplishing your dreams and making it happen. So
I thought of another book, love, you guys.
Okay awesome.
I just want to put a disclaimer on this episode that it is raging allergy season here. So
it is.
If we all seem a little bit off, that's why. I read a YA book recently, which I don't often do.
Leah, I'm proud of you.
Young adult.
Yeah. So it's called Turtles All the Way Down by John
Green.
Yes.
Green. He's the one who wrote that other one that was super sad.
The Fault in Our Stars.
Yeah, okay.
So this one was a very intriguing book. I'm not usually all about the YA, especially when there's romance. I can't take it.
He's really good at it, though.
But this one, yes, he definitely puts a serious aspect to it. Mm-hmm. Like in Fault in Our Stars, she had cancer, right? They both had cancer. I've only seen the movie. I didn't read the book, and I didn't really pay attention. So, in this one, it's about 16-year-old Aza, and she's pursuing this mystery. But the main focus of the book is she has OCD, and so her OCD is about germs, and it just totally has taken over her life. Mm-hmm. And he also has OCD, I found out.
John Green. So.
I can see that.
So a friend was telling me that she listened or watched him trying to record something, and he had to start like over and over and over again to try to get it perfect. And you can tell in this book that someone with the same issues was writing it, because only someone inside of that mind could know these thoughts that she's having. And it was fascinating just to kind of experience what someone with that issue goes through on a daily basis, and just that uncontrollable need. Like with her, she's always putting hand sanitizer on and picking at this cut on her finger.
It's a whole nother form of anxiety.
Yeah, just obsessing that she's going to get these incredible infections. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it was very interesting read. I definitely would recommend it.
I will put that on the list.
Do it.
Good reads.
John Green is awesome.
I might already be had it on the list because it won one of those awards. Uh-huh.
One of those awards.
Well, back when the Newbery Award came out, it won one of the other ones. So
yeah.
I just thought of another one too. Can I? So this is not a book. Well, it actually is a book I'm reading. But
we know Mandy doesn't have that many, so we'll just do this.
Keep going. So anyway, so PBS. I think the BBC did it first, and it's now at PBS, is doing Little Women. So we may or may not be doing an episode or two on that.
We know what that means.
Anyway, so I've seen the first episode. I've seen like two Little Women movies. Like there was an old one back in the day with Elizabeth Taylor.
I think that's the one I've seen.
And then there was a new one. Came out when we were kids. In the 90s, I think. Anyway, so I've seen those, but I've never actually read the book, so I decided it's time. So I started listening to the audiobook, and
I haven't read it either, but I don't think it's something I'd be able to make it through.
That's why I decided to do audiobook.
Mm-hmm. There's a good one. I don't know if you have a library card, but if you do...
I do not.
Okay.
Surprise!
There's an app called Hoopla that has some good audiobooks on it.
Yeah, Hoopla. Yeah, I got mine on Cloud Library.
I've been thinking about that anyway, because every time I search for audiobooks, like, for free, that's what it always takes me to, is, like, a library.
Yeah, and you can get a library card for free. You aren't going to have to pay for one.
Unless I'm on some list.
Do you have any love of books?
Yeah, what's your book love? Any movies or comic books?
I started reading Annihilation, which I spoke of last time.
Yes, yes, yes.
Which is actually the reason why, surprise, I didn't finish the podcast book. Because I was... One should not read these two books together at the same time. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
So it was a little intense for me, and I had wars with myself whenever I was going to go read about which one I was going
to
read.
Which one do I need to pick up? Yeah. So. No, I've been there before.
But I did make it further through our podcast book, so boom. And this isn't new, but I did recently watch The Princess Bride again.
Good job.
And that's a book.
Yes, it is. Yes.
And it's a classic.
Yes.
And it's still funny.
We have a quote from that movie in our intro.
We do.
Little ditty. Yeah.
Actually, yeah, when that part of the movie was on at the beginning, I teared
your
up a
ears
little.
Perked up.
Teared up a little. I was like, this is a special book.
Nice.
I'm trying to think. I feel like that's everything from me.
Have you seen Infinity War yet?
I have not. So hush. Have you?
I'm yes.
Ah.
I saw it too.
We saw it together.
It's fabulous.
Why wasn't I invited?
I think we did tell you we were going on Sunday night.
No, you didn't.
Well, sorry. You always have Dungeons and Dragons that night. True, so I didn't want to interrupt that. I know how special that is to you.
It is special to me. I get together with some of my friends.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make light of it.
Yeah. We go on adventures.
Dungeons and Dragons is serious.
Adventures like what we're going to talk about with this book that we read today. And we do that for ourselves.
Well, anyway, I saw it. You know, it's a Marvel movie. Okay. So.
Don't tell me anything.
All right. Are we ready for book news? Is that what's next?
Yes, it is what's next.
Is it? You should send me this clip so I can actually put it in.
I'll do that.
That's probably a good idea. Yeah. It takes away from the charm.
Well, I mean, go ahead and play it because this might be the last time.
Hello, friends.
And that's all for book news.
With this episode's book news. When I was Googling books that came out, that Wish Tree book came up by What's-Her-Face. What's it called? Wishing Tree?
The Wish Tree? That came out back in September.
So why did it pop up when I searched?
I don't know.
Books that came out this month. It was The Wish Tree. Whatever. Anyhow, don't forget about that book.
Don't forget about that book.
Everyone needs to read that book.
Wow. Okay.
Okay.
Including you, Michael.
It's a short read. You can get through it in a day.
Anywho, I believe Leah has a connection to some of today's book news.
Yes, I do.
Would you like to share?
I would like to share. So there's a series called The Penderwicks, which is delightful. I'm pretty sure if you listen to our podcast, thank you, first of all. And secondly, you would probably enjoy these books. So it's by Jean, I've heard her called both, Birdsall. And it's about four sisters. The first one is A Summer Adventure. So now's a great time to read that book because it is just a lighthearted, fun summer read.
We're on the cusp of summer.
Exactly. And I think it's a really good read aloud book. The sisters are so cute. I love them all. There's Rosalind and Skye and Jane and Batty. Aren't those names just
fun? Those are fun names.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
I've always been a fan of Batty.
Batty, yeah.
Yeah, it's adorable. So,
is it short for something or is that just her name? That's awesome.
I was wondering about that. I just recently read the second one. I read the first one last summer and just got around to the second one because she just released on May 15th the final Penderwicks book, number 5. I think it's called Penderwicks the Last. Is that what it's called?
The Penderwicks at Last.
At Last. And how delightful. I just heard an interview with her. She didn't even start writing at all until she was 45. And then 5 years later, she wrote the first Penderwicks book and it received several awards. It's very, very popular. It was a New York Times bestseller. So guys, read the Penderwicks. Everyone should read these books.
You said the audiobooks are good?
Yes.
Maybe that will be Nora and I's next.
She would probably like that. Audiobook. The voices are so cute. I've only done it on audiobook and it's delightful. That's it. That's my book news.
Good job.
Do you have anything else?
I do, because in this article you sent me, and I had actually stumbled upon this book before you sent me this article, Lauren, The Unicorn Rescue Society. It sounds right up my alley.
That's awesome.
They basically protect mythical creatures and stuff. So I kind of want to check it out. And look at the cover.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah. It's my kind of
cute.
Cover.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm gonna check that out. I believe Rick Riordan has another one of his books coming out in that Apollo series.
Yeah, I need to check that Apollo series out. That one is so Apollo is a son of Zeus, and Zeus got mad at him and has
thrown him out,
made him mortal. Yes. And so it's about Apollo having to deal with his new identity, basically.
Yes, and there's already several of those books.
Yeah,
I didn't
realize what those were, and I need to read them.
Yeah, because you like him, Lauren.
I do. He's a very entertaining author. But yeah, that article, so it's bookriot.com, which is a great website anyway for all book news. But the so that article is actually a newsletter. You can go to Book Riot and sign up for the newsletter. It's called The Kids Are All Right, and it comes out once or twice a month. But anyway, the newsletter gets sent to your email. And it's written by Karina Yan Glaser, who is also the author of The Vanderbeekers.
Love.
Yes. So anyway, she does things like, well, she'll interview other authors, and she tells about new releases and other books that she's reading. She has two little girls, so she usually talks about them. And
I would say if you like The Vanderbeekers, just a small plug, you would also like The Penderwicks, because it's a very similar vibe of adventure and family.
Everyone should read them. They should. All of them.
Both sets. Also, Lauren sent me the cover reveal for the, I believe this is the illustrated, The Tales of Beetle the Bard.
Yeah.
October 9th, 2018, guys.
Start saving.
Mark it down.
I know. There's so many Harry Potter books coming out this year.
Now we know what to get each other, guys.
Part of me is glad, though, because we're not getting an illustrated edition this year because the book's so long. It's going to come out in 2019. So I guess we'll have other things
we'll
to
choose. We'll have an illustrated
from.
Beetle, Tales of Beetle the Bard.
Yeah, The Tales of Beetle the Bard is an in-universe book from
yes,
Harry Potter.
Which means it's canon.
Yes. So now we have an illustrated edition, which I think it should be illustrated. So there.
Yeah. Wow. I like how they illustrated Fantastic Beasts. Like
that was so fun. Awesome. That was a fun one. That's a nice coffee table book too. Just have it out.
Like having pictures
look at dragons.
Of the beasts. I love it.
And I think that concludes my book news, unless Lauren has other information that I don't know of.
I'm like you. Like when you said there wasn't much, I haven't really seen anything. So it was a slow month for the book news.
It was.
Guys.
Oh boy. Turn down the volume. Should have said that before. Sorry.
Look, I have my gain is now.
Okay.
Because so. I do tend to be louder. Leah and I met Kate DiCamillo. We met her.
I love how you put in the notes, we met Kate DiCamillo.
Well, we did.
No, you guys did.
Well, you could have come.
No, I couldn't. I have a job.
We missed you, Mandy, and Kate did too. She told us to tell you that.
Oh, Kate.
She didn't.
Just let her think that.
No, but it was just so fun. It was like meeting someone in person that you already know. Like that's kind of how I felt with her. I guess similar to Kwame, but with her, I felt more so. She talked for like an hour, and she basically just did questions and answers, which was fun. There were a lot of kids in the audience, and so that was super fun. So she said a lot of things that we already knew about her, but she also said some other things. So
basically, they asked her how she came up with each and every book that she had ever written. So it was fun to hear. Some of them I had never heard before, so that was cool.
And one of them asked her, what's it like having one of your books turned into a movie? And so she kind of went through how that is. She says you have two options. Like, one, you can say absolutely not and have complete control, or you can say yes and have no control. So it would be hard to be an author, I think, with your books being made into movies. But yeah, it was really fun. When we were there, we got a copy of Flora and Ulysses signed by her. So,
is that for me?
It's for the audience. You have a signed copy of Flora and Ulysses,
Mandy.
Yeah,
we all already have that, which I kept forgetting. I'm like, I gotta bring Flora and Ulysses for her to sign. And I was like, oh, it's already signed. So I had her sign Rami Nightingale for me because I just, that book, it's tied for me with Flora and Ulysses now. It's so good. But anyway, we got this signed by her, so be paying close attention to our social medias in the next few weeks, so we'll be announcing how you can win a signed copy of Flora and Ulysses.
God, we have a lot of books queued up to give away.
I know.
We're awesome.
Kate, we'll love you forever.
We will.
We'll love you forever, Kate.
Well, are we ready to get into our book discussion?
Let's do it.
Okay, guys, this time we are talking about...
She already
the
forgot
Hero
what it was.
And the Crown.
Thank you. By Robin McKinley, winner of the 1985 Newbery Medal. So, Erin, that's how I pronounced her name. I hope that's okay. Erin could not remember a time when she had not known the story. She had grown up knowing it. It was the story of her mother, the witch woman, who enspelled the king into marrying her to get an heir that would rule Daemar. And it was told that she turned her face to the wall and died of despair when she found she had borne a daughter instead of a son. Erin was that daughter. But there was more of the story yet to be told. Erin's destiny was greater than even she had dreamed, for she was to be the true hero who would wield the power of the blue sword.
Dun, dun, dun!
So, Leah, give us some author history.
So, Robin McKinley is somewhat credited as being kind of a founding author of YA literature. This book had a very YA feel. I don't know if you guys picked up on that.
This was YA.
No, not totally.
If you didn't finish the book, then you don't know why.
It definitely was YA. Yeah.
I mean, I already understand why you say that, but it's also...
She's not even a kid. It's like a coming of age story.
No, yeah, I understand that. I'm just saying it's also,
I mean,
like...
People definitely classify it more as YA. Yeah. When she won the Newbery Award, YA wasn't...
They didn't have a separate category for YA. Okay, now they have a separate category.
I was wondering the whole time I was reading it, this book is good, but I don't know if I would consider it a children's book.
No, I would not. Well, it's crazy because it says it's for 10 and up. I would not let a 10-year-old read this book.
It depends on the 10-year-old.
Yeah.
I mean, I probably could have read it when I was 10.
Maybe 12 would be better.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that certain part would have gone over our heads. It definitely would have gone over my head.
So Robin McKinley was born in 1952 in Ohio. Her dad was in the Navy and her mom's a teacher. So she moved around a lot as a child. And reading and writing were basically her faithful companions as she moved from place to place. And she said as soon as she learned that being an author was a job, she knew that that's what she wanted to do. So she worked a few jobs other than being a writer. But the job I thought you guys would be most interested in was when she worked in New York City, she worked at a bookstore called Books of Wonder.
Guys, we've been there. We've been there.
That awesome children's bookstore in New York City that we love.
We have stepped foot in the store where she worked.
Yeah, I was pretty excited about that.
Huh, nice.
So anyway, she wrote quite a few books. And all of them are in the fantasy genre. But she's known for giving a more feminist point of view to stories. She actually did a rewriting of Beauty and the Beast.
I didn't gather that at all from this book.
I heard that was good.
It looked really good.
What's it called?
Beauty, a retelling of the story of Beauty and the Beast.
What's the cover look like?
There's several different covers because it's an older book.
Yeah, because didn't she write that before she wrote?
Yes. She wrote that book. She also wrote The Door in the Hedge, which is short stories. And then she wrote The Blue Sword, which was a Newbery Honor. And then she wrote Hero in the Crown. So this was only her fourth book. But I think we see that a lot, actually. It's either first or one of their first few books. So yeah, like I said, she likes to give the protagonists that are women something to do, that they are actually in the action and not waiting on someone to save them from something, that they are the ones having the adventure. We definitely see that in this book.
I loved that.
Yes. And I think actually it took me doing some research on her to see that, because I think we have so much these days where women do, you know, have adventures. But once she said that, and if you look at it in the picture of fairy tales, it's a really good point. Especially in fantasy, that was her point, was to give women their own adventures in fantasy. So she was single for quite a while, and she actually kind of talks about how she just never really was into romance or guys or anything. And so she didn't get married until 1992, I believe. She married a British author who's quite a bit older than her. So she actually lives in England now. And they didn't have any kids together because they got married late in life. But she does have two dogs. And Mandy, I feel like you would love these names. In one article, they referred to as hellhounds, and they're named Chaos and Darkness.
Yes!
Which I thought was awesome. And fun fact about her, so she got married late in life, which I think explains this, but her and her husband wanted to move a little closer to town because he was getting older and wanted to be closer to like shops and stuff. And instead of buying one house, they couldn't find that one that would be big enough for both of them and their writing careers. So they ended up buying two small houses that were close to each other. And she had a house and he had a house.
Ooh, that's my awesome.
I'm like, you know, actually,
I would be really okay with that.
Well, she said she's a night owl and he was an early riser. And so basically she would go to his house late in the morning when she finally woke up, spend the day with him, and he would go to bed and she would hang out there. And then when she was ready for bed, she'd go home to her house. Like, it's a nice setup if you're just,
yeah,
like,
I mean, if that's what works,
writers hanging out in England. Yeah.
Was she inspired by it? Could you find anything that she was inspired by?
Basically, just fantasy in general is what I found. I didn't see. So she has a website, but it's under maintenance. So I was really hoping to get some of those questions. A lot of times if authors are alive, they have on their website frequently asked questions. Mm-hmm. And I was really looking forward to that. And her website's down. So
that's right. She has a Twitter account, too.
Yes.
But she doesn't seem to be very active on there, which is okay.
Well, I mean, she's up there in age now.
Yeah, anything I wrote or anything I saw written about her inspirations just talked about how she loved fantasy but wanted to see more female.
Well, I'm assuming she was a fan of Tolkien and C.S. Lewis and stuff like that. And it would make sense.
That vibe.
It would make sense if she was inspired by Tolkien because those are very male-centric books. Right. And, there are very strong females in those books, but it's heavily male, so it would make sense for her to want to do that.
Yes, well, listeners, if you find where she said what she was inspired by, let us know. Okay, so when she writes, and we've heard this from different authors, some authors, basically the story comes to them and they have to write it. And she's one of those authors that basically she said the most important thing is to listen to the needs of the story, and the story drives what she writes, which is so insane to me. I don't have that kind of mind where you just have a story in your head that if you don't listen to it, it doesn't work. But so that is her advice. So I guess if you're a genius and have a fully developed story in your head, listen to it. But so, yeah, I enjoyed learning about her, what I could find. I really appreciate how she does want to give women that chance in her stories, but also she does also has a focus on duty, which we'll talk about, I think, a little bit about this book. But that her characters kind of have this sense of duty and that they have to fulfill some sort of calling on their life. And that's the focus for most of her books, according to what I read. Are we ready to talk about this book?
Mandy, what are your overall thoughts on this book?
I read half of it and I loved it.
All right. What about you, Leah?
I enjoyed the adventure of it. It was a little slow for me getting into it for some reason. It has a lot of non-adventure at the beginning. Yes, but no, I enjoyed it. Overall, I enjoyed it. I liked the adventure once we got there.
Yes, I didn't like the beginning either, which is why I have issues with most fantasy books, because it's like the part where like they're introducing everyone and all that stuff, and I have to get all the names straight and stuff, and it makes me crazy.
The names were so frustrating to me, especially in audiobook, because you can't like go back and look and see,
right,
wait, what did that say? And like,
well, there were like three characters where their name started with a T.
Yeah,
so I had to get those all straightened out.
Yep. Yeah, I had an issue with that.
There was like two or three that had, I mean, obviously, you know who Aaron is.
Right. So we probably should say that this book is like a prequel to her, third book that she wrote? What is it? The Blue Sword. The Blue Sword.
So, yeah,
so maybe if you've read The Blue Sword, it's easier to get into this book? I don't know. Possible.
This book is supposedly happened centuries before that, though. Mm-hmm. So it's not like it's like...
Yeah, we're not missing anything.
There's a part at the end, though, of this book where she time travels and we hear characters talking that I'm assuming are from The Blue Sword. I haven't read The Blue Sword, but I know, Mandy.
I always miss all the good stuff.
It's really crazy at the end.
I don't know. I got to a really good part, though. The first half has, you know, the epicness.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, for me, I like you guys, I really enjoyed this book. Again, I was confused at the beginning because they do a time jump. So it starts out and then they like give you backstory.
Yeah.
And it took me a while to realize that had happened.
Me too. I was like, wait a minute. I think that we've done one of those things they do in shows.
But yeah, it was a fun book for me. I love the strong female protagonist. I love the dragons. I love the magic.
Yeah.
So it was a fun book. I have a few critiques, but we'll get there in our discussion. So let's get into this. So we have divided our discussion up into three categories so we can stay on track.
Structure.
Yes. So first, let's talk about Aaron's longing.
Shall we?
So Aaron is the daughter of the king, but her mom, the people believe she was a witch woman. And so because of that, Aaron is basically despised by the kingdom and no one really likes her. Her dad likes her and her cousin likes her. He really likes her.
Yes, he does. But that's okay in those times.
Because he's so Tor, right? That's how you guys say his name. Mm-hmm. He's the heir to the throne. And is he the heir to the throne because they do the next male in line, or is he the heir to the throne because she is the daughter of a witch woman and no one wants her to be?
I gathered because he was the next male is what I gathered.
That's what it seemed like to me. Okay. It just said he was the first Sola. I feel like that's all they ever said for that.
Yeah.
Like we were just supposed to know what that meant. Like, oh, he's the first Sola, of course.
No. I felt like I needed, like, a dictionary for some of that stuff.
Hey, Siri, what's Sola mean?
That terminology doesn't make sense because she's the first Sol, and he's the first Sola. And if you, like, know Latin, usually anything with an at the end is like female.
Most languages.
So, like, I don't know, like, why? If she was confused, I don't know.
Maybe she just wanted to be different.
Well, maybe.
Maybe it was a metaphor for her making the female the strong character and the male.
Deep thoughts there. I just wrote down, like, she wants acceptance. I think that's kind of really what she wants. She wants to be accepted. She wants to know more about who she is and who her mother was. And she wants to take part. Like, she wants to be a part of something. So, she wants purpose.
Yes. I wrote, like, she wants her own greatness, her own adventure. Like, she wants her own right to being respected by her dad, and that's her longing.
There's nothing wrong with longing for that. No, I think everyone does.
Well, yeah, we all want to feel like we're contributing, whether it's to our family, to society, and our job. Like, we want to take part.
I don't think I would have wanted to go after dragons. Like, I think I would have been okay without that.
If you had what she had, though, the secret weapon, I would consider it.
Or the Ken, is it Kennet?
Kennet.
Yeah. Yeah, she works for a year to figure out the formula for this.
Wasn't it 3 years?
I thought it was a year.
I thought when she went and talked to her father, she said she had been working on it for like 3 years.
Maybe she had. I don't know. She worked on it for a long time, and she tested it out. Ended up injuring herself in the process. But yeah, so she finally develops, like, the right formula for this ointment that will protect her from fire. Mm-hmm. Or protect anything from fire that the ointment is on. She learns how to sword fight from Tor. Mm-hmm. She learns about dragons. She works with the horse.
That was, like, one of my favorite things.
I liked that plot line.
Was her going every day, and it was just so precious.
It was beautiful, yeah. Because the horse's name was Talit?
Yes.
another T name.
Mm-hmm. Right? I kept thinking it was a person at the beginning. It was a problem. Mm-hmm. It's a horse.
So Talat was her father's old war horse. So he had gotten injured. And so basically he's just hanging out. But
she brought him back.
She brings him back.
Mm-hmm. This would be a good movie, I feel like.
I think it would be as well. So she learns how to ride him in such a way that she can fight dragons while mm-hmm. she's riding him.
She's
so
not like, a fan of, like, all the gear.
Yeah, she doesn't want to use reins or... I think she finally, like...
She rigs the saddle up, yeah.
So, yeah. So I kind of liked... I mean, obviously that beginning part is kind of slow going. It's a lot of... And you're like, oh, I just want to see a dragon, you know, but... We finally do.
At the very end of part one.
So she fights like two like small dragons and defeats them. But she like, I think she goes out thinking, oh, this is going to be super easy. I've got this Kennet. I've trained. And she finds out it actually is going to take her some effort to defeat these dragons.
I was kind of right there with her, though, because I was like, yeah, we're going to go in. We got this stuff. We're going to beat the dragons. And then, like, while she's fighting it, I think I had the same realization that she probably had. That, you know, you're going to need to do a little bit more than be fireproof here.
Right, right. Yeah. You can't just go up there doused in the ointment.
But she survives. She does it. And the horse helps, too.
So, next we're going to talk about Aaron's journey. And we're going to get a little bit into the hero's journey. So she defeats Maurer. Maurer. Who's like this great dragon who's like...
Like Smaug?
Yeah. Like no one's seen him in centuries. They think he's either dead or he's asleep and he's never coming back. Well, he comes back. And...
Like a volcano just waiting.
Yeah. And... There's, like, I don't know, there's, like, people in the north that are threatening to revolt, and so the king and his men go deal with that. And so they don't really take the guy seriously when he says Maurer's back and he's, like, pillaging our village or whatever. They're like, oh, well, we gotta take care of this. And so Aaron's like, I'm gonna go deal with this.
I've got this. I got a couple little baby dragons under my belt. I can do it.
So she defeats Maurer, but she pays a very heavy price for it.
It's the heavy price, Lauren.
She is very much wounded and dying. I thought Talat died in this battle, but he did not.
I thought that's what you were going to tell me.
So she makes her way back to her kingdom, and like she has the head of the dragon. And she's in, like, they're having this special ceremony to, I guess, honor her or something since she defeated the dragon. They've hung the dragon's head up in, like, this hall, like, this great hall where they're having the feast or whatever.
Yeah,
and
that's appetizing. Yeah,
she starts to hear him talking to her.
Hallucination.
Telling her, like, you're worthless. Everyone still hates you. You're never going to be good enough. Like, he's just really bringing her down. And, like, she's dying. Like the kingdom has healers, and they're coming in, and they're trying to heal her, and she's just...
Does she die? She can't die. She has plot armor.
She's, like, bedridden and dying. Well, so after she defeats Maurer... Sorry, I'm having a hard time with that name. The big dragon. She, like... faints a lot. Like, before she gets home, she passes out a few times.
It's okay. She survived that stuff earlier in the book.
So she, while she's passed out one of those times, she sees a man, a blonde-headed man, and he says, you know, I can help you, come find me. Well, she wakes up, and he's not there. Well, when she's back in the castle, she keeps having these dreams of him, and he's like, come find me, I can help you. Why haven't you come to me? I can help you. And also when she defeated Maurer, she took she found like a red jewel. Mm-hmm. So she has this red jewel. So anyway, so she decides to go find this blonde haired man. So she finds him and he basically heals her in such a way that makes her immortal. And
partially immortal.
Yeah, partially immortal. And he trains her further. He gives her the blue sword. She finds out she's related to this evil mage. Oh, so he teaches her magic. So she learns how to use magic. And if you remember previously in the book, like the rest of the king, like the rest of the royal people can do magic, mm-hmm. but she doesn't have it. And so that's why they're like, well, she's not a real royal blood mm-hmm. person because she can't use magic. So he teaches her to use magic. And so he tells her, you're related to this evil mage and his name is Agsded. And this is my one of my critiques from this. We get like, we're like over halfway through the book and all of a sudden there's this evil mage that like we've never heard of.
They talk about the evil over the border and that there's like magic and that's what's sending the dragons. Yeah. So there's allusions to it. Yeah, and they
talk ill of, what is it, the northern.
Yeah.
And they say that's where her mother is supposedly from. Isn't that mentioned?
She's from there.
She is from there.
The north. Yeah. So anyway, she finds out this Agsded. Is that how you say his name?
However you want to say it, Lauren.
That doesn't sound right, but keep going.
Please fix it. Anyway, so he's her uncle. So he's her mother's brother. And he's the one that's orchestrating, like, the northerners are revolting against the king. And he is the one who sent Maurer. And so the blonde-haired guy's name is Lutha. He's a mage, too, but he's a good one. And so he tells her, I can't defeat him. You have to do it.
Which I feel like was a lie.
She's the chosen one. Duh.
So anyway, she goes and she goes on this journey. She has to like go by herself. She has Talit with her. The horse. And then these other animals come help her. There's like this cat type animal.
There's like a kingdom of the cats and a kingdom of the dogs that come along with her.
So it sounds like it gets more exciting and also slightly weird.
Yeah.
It gets very more fantastical in the second half.
It definitely does.
So yeah, so she has these two kingdoms that come and help her. They help her find the evil mage, Uncle Dude.
Does she kill him?
No.
So she has to like climb this tower.
That was kind of boring to me.
It was so boring. And I understand like
you're like watching this really exciting action movie and then all of a sudden they're in an elevator for like 6 hours.
Yeah. And I understand, like, apparently, like, years go by as she's climbing this tower.
Like I'm not exaggerating. High. It was a long time.
And, like, she realizes, like, man, how long have I been climbing this tower?
How does she survive?
She's a mage, so she can do it. Does she eat?
No. Does she stop for berries?
So she gets to the top of the tower. She faces off with this evil mage. And something that I found interesting... She says when she looks at him, she sees her own face. And I think, I know that that probably means, like, they're related so they look alike. But I'm wondering, like, if it also had, like, another meaning. Like, the evil that she defeats in him is the evil that's within her own self. And so she has to defeat that.
That's a good metaphor.
I read into stuff sometimes too far.
So or maybe it was, like magic that he used. I don't know, I didn't read it, so that's just my theory based on what you say.
I think mostly it's just because they're related, so they look a lot. Like, she has red hair, he has red hair, they have the same eyes.
Yes.
I kind of sort of pictured her as the chick from Brave.
I did too. I got a lot of Brave vibes from this book. Too. Like, how she wants to go out and fight, but they're keeping her in the castle and making mm-hmm. her learn all these princess things. Like, it was really a lot of...
Merida?
Yeah, it was... It reminded me a lot of Merida.
Like, her hair is crazy.
Yeah, her hair is red and crazy.
But Aaron's hair gets singed. She was really ugly.
Yeah,
she had lots of, like... It took a lot out of her.
Yeah.
It definitely...
She got burned really badly.
I don't feel like this is a very popular way to tell a story because she got injured severely and was in pain.
Doesn't matter what you look like.
Most of the book, like, it wasn't glamorous.
You could still be a hero.
I'm not sure it would make a good movie because if they were going to stick close
to
it.
They would find a way to make her ugly and pretty, though. They're really good at that.
I mean, she regains, like, her wounds heal, her hair grows again, but her hair grows back darker.
And it doesn't ever like really grow.
Yeah, it's just like always shoulder length. I think is what they said. Because her hair was super long before. Mm-hmm.
She has some serious injuries. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she still defeats the mage.
She defeats him, and I didn't understand this. The whole time she's fighting him, her neck is itching.
Yeah, she has like a rash, and that's all she can think about when she's fighting him. All she can think about
the whole time she's fighting him is this rash, and it's burning, and it's itching.
Did he give it to her? Did he use magic?
I don't remember. So some of the descriptions of her injuries and things that were happening, it definitely made it it's going to sound really weird because it is very fantastical, but it also felt like you were there because she was describing things like her rash. Like, it made you feel like you were a part of that moment because you could feel every little detail that she was feeling. But it was still weird. I didn't understand.
That plant. Kellar?
At the beginning, the leaf she ate. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Circa.
Yes.
So she has this wreath of Circa with her.
So she thinks it's from that?
I don't know. This is different. I don't know what the rash is from. So she has this wreath of Circa with her.
We don't want to talk about the rash anymore, Leah.
Which, I forget where she got that from, but it's important. So she has this wreath of Circa. She has the blue sword, which has a name. What is the name of the sword?
The blue sword.
Grimdall or something.
Yeah. And the sword is a female. It's a female sword.
Ooh. I didn't know swords had
She refers to her as a she and a her. Like anytime she talks about the sword, and it's almost like the sword acts on its own, this is not a new concept. Like swords, like if you've read Lord of the Rings, if you've read The Hobbit, they give their swords names and it's almost like the sword is its own character. If you've read any Rick Riordan stuff, Percy Jackson has a pen that turns into a sword.
Gontran? Gontran? That's the name of the sword.
Yeah, and like the sword, and in Rick Riordan's new books about the Norse mythology, the sword in that book actually talks. So this isn't a new thing, like swords and weapons having their own, like, character and such. She's got the blue sword, she has this wreath of Circa, she has this gem that she got from Maurer, and she has it hidden in the Circa wreath. Anyway, so she's like fighting her uncle. I think it sounds like they're like throwing flames at each other. Some type of magical crap is going on, and
it's like a Harry Potter battle.
She feels like she's not really winning, and all of a sudden it's kind of accidental. She throws the Circa wreath at him and it kind of he disintegrates or something like that, right?
I don't know. I got really confused.
He gets defeated. And then
this is what happens when you listen to it on audiobook, because this story like just switches in an instant and all of a sudden I'm like, wait.
What? Yeah.
Where did he go?
So she defeats him, and then she like wakes up and she's in the middle of a forest and she sees like the tower in ruins. And before there was no forest there, it was like an empty plain and the tower was just kind of there by itself.
So she's been around here for a while.
So she wakes up, her wounds have been healed. She like looks at her hands and her arms and her wounds have been healed. Her hair is longer.
Everything's back.
This is important. The evil mage was wearing the hero's crown. So,
I was wondering where that came into play.
She was supposed to get that. So she like wakes up. She's like, yeah, I defeated him. But she's like, I didn't get the crown. Like, I did all this and I didn't get the crown. And she doesn't know like where it is or any of that. So she's kind of mad about that.
Did it disintegrate with him?
I'm about to tell you.
Tell us, Lauren.
So at first she hears people talking. She hears people talking. They're standing by the ruins and they're talking. And then Lutha comes to her and he takes her back to, basically she had been there for a long time.
That's what I gathered from the foliage.
He takes her back in time, basically. So he takes her back in time. And so the people that she hears talking when she went forward in time are from the Blue Sword book. So I guess you'll have to read that to know who they were talking about. So he brings her back. And then one of the queen of the cats brings her the hero's crown.
Look at those cats.
So somehow they got it. So she's like, yes, I have the hero's crown. Because the king of Daemar is supposed to wear that crown.
Mm-hmm.
And it was lost, you know, years ago.
I do remember that.
And so no king has worn a crown since then because in honor
of... In respect of the lost crown, yes.
So she has this crown and she knows she has to take it back to her people. And she and Lutha have fallen in love.
Oh, dear. What happened to what's-his-face?
It's been a few years.
Yeah.
Cousin Tor.
So she and Lutha have fallen in love, and they have a few romantic days in the forest.
Mm.
And I'll just leave it at that.
Mm.
But it's pretty clear what is going on. I'll just read it.
Oh, boy. Do we have to?
This episode is rated R.
I won't read it. But you basically know that... They're intimate with each
Maybe
other.
Maybe PG-13.
Which is why I would not let a 10-year-old read this book. And this is YA. This is not a middle grade book. This is
right,
not a children's
book. But this was
book.
Back before there was rules for the Newberries and stuff.
You shouldn't have your characters sleeping together.
Wow.
Do they wed her and Lutha?
No,
they do not.
Does she wed Tor?
Before we get there, because that takes us to Aaron's loyalty and duty. So let's stay into the Aaron's journey here and talk about the hero's journey a little bit, okay? So, hero's journey, okay? So I got this from Wikipedia. Only reason I know about the hero's journey is because of Star Wars, and people that are into Star Wars talk about this a lot. But you guys might have heard this before, mm-hmm. Hero's journey. So this was made popular by Joseph Campbell. And
who is
so he kind of the hero's journey is not like a newer thing, but in 1949 he wrote a work called The Hero with a Thousand Faces. So he describes his work, but he's known for like the modern myth and a lot of myth. Mm-hmm. He's all about myth. Okay. So he describes the hero's journey as a basic narrative pattern, and here's what he says. Here's the pattern. A hero ventures forth from the world of common day into a region of supernatural wonder. Fabulous forces are there encountered, and a decisive victory is won. The hero comes back from this mysterious adventure with the power to bestow boons on his fellow man. And there's like 17 stages in this monomyth, he calls it. Not all monomyths contain all 17 stages explicitly. Some of them may only focus on one of the stages. Others may deal with different stages. Anyway, so the 17 stages can be organized in a number of ways, but there's usually three acts. So there's the departure, the initiation, and the return. So in the departure, the hero lives in an ordinary world and receives a call to go on an adventure. And at first, yes. He doesn't want to go. He refuses the call, but then he's helped by a mentor figure who gets them to go on this adventure.
Hmm.
The initiation section begins with the hero traversing the threshold to the unknown or the special world, where he faces trials either alone or with helpers. The hero eventually reaches the quote-unquote, the innermost cave, or the central crisis of his adventure, where he must undergo the ordeal, where he overcomes the main obstacle or enemy.
The belly of the beast.
And gaining his reward, or treasure, or elixir. The hero must then return to the ordinary world with his reward. He may be pursued by the guardians of the special world, or the unknown, or he may be reluctant to return and may be rescued or forced to return by intervention from the outside. In the return section, the hero again traverses the threshold between the world, returning to the ordinary world with the treasure he gained, which he may now use for the benefit of his fellow man. The hero himself is transformed by the adventure and gains wisdom or spiritual power over both worlds. So to give you some examples, Luke Skywalker in Star Wars. He's approached by Obi-Wan Kenobi. Come with me. I'll train you as a Jedi. No, I'm needed here.
Because I'm a little pansy booty hole.
Then his aunt and uncle get burned up. And so he's like, I'm going to go with you.
I'm not needed anymore.
Yeah. So he goes and, you know. Anyway, so that's Luke. I think of Gandalf in Lord of the Rings. He definitely has like a rebirth moment. Katniss from the Hunger Games, I think we could argue. So Bilbo Baggins, though, I think is a really good example. Because he, you know, Gandalf says, hey, come with us on this adventure. Bilbo's we need a burglar. Bilbo's like, no, I want to stay in my little hobbit hole. And I would want to as well because it's cute and cozy.
There's food there.
But he goes. He goes on the adventure. He defeats Smaug. He gets the ring. Mm-hmm. You know, he gets something. Mm-hmm. He comes back a changed person. He's a different person. So I would argue that Aaron goes on a hero's journey in this book.
I would concur.
And I don't know about you guys. I was thinking about this earlier, because at first I thought her hero's journey, which I still do, her hero's journey is when Lutha calls her and says, come to me, I can help you. So she goes to him, learns magic, gets the blue sword. Then she has to defeat the evil mage. You know, she has like this weird, crazy experience where she time travels and comes back, kind of almost like a rebirth. She has the hero's crown now. She's gained this token, this treasure, this prize. But I was thinking about it. I'm like, I think she went like on a mini hero's journey before that when she defeated Maur, because she has a rebirth even there. I mean, she's like dying and like.
I feel like it. I mean, it's all connected because she's dying when she goes to Lutha. Like she never recovers from
one big long hero's journey, Lauren.
Yeah, and I think that's somewhere in the writings, like. The journey, like, it's not like this, like, these are the steps, like, they have to follow these steps. Like, I think they can go back, and I think that's what she does. Like, she has some steps that she has to do a few times. Because
she clearly wasn't finished when she defeated the dragon. She was still in a bad place.
Yeah.
I don't think she was truly at the end until she actually had the crown.
Until she wakes up healed and stuff.
Yes. Hero's journey, guys.
Oh, wow.
We learned something. Educational podcast.
I love about her. I'm in my little notebook here that I wrote notes.
You're going to run out of room in that notebook.
I love that she's her own hero. Like, I kept waiting, like, when she's trying to defeat Maur, when she's trying to defeat the evil mage. Like, I kept waiting for, like Tor to show up or Lutha to show up to, like, help her, like the whatever that's called, like the deus ex machina or whatever, like an outside force coming in to help you. And it never happened. Like, she always wins on her own. She never needs anyone else to help her.
I mean, the horse helps her that one time with the dragons, but that's okay. That's part of her. She trained him. I mean, he was already trained, but she fixed him.
Yeah. She indirectly gets help from them. Tor is the one who taught her how to sword fight. Lutha is the one who teaches her how to use magic.
She ultimately does it herself.
But yeah, she didn't need anyone to come in and rescue her, which is what Leah said about Robin McKinley. Like, that's what how she writes her characters. They don't need rescuing. Let's move on to Aaron's loyalty and duty. And so she has to go back. She has to give the crown to her people. So she goes back to Daymar. And when she gets there, the people from the north are fighting the rest of the kingdom. And the north is winning. And she's like, why didn't Lutha bring me back to the time before this happened so I could stop this all from happening? So she kind of questions that, which is funny to me because I feel like somebody reading the book would have questioned that. Like, why didn't she just do that? Well, we don't get an answer to the question, but somebody asked it. She defeats the enemy with the help from her animal friends, the cat kingdom and the dog kingdom. And then, like, there's still, like, this... So her dad dies in the midst of this battle. And so she gives Tor the crown. So he puts on the crown it must have like some special powers because it helps them win.
Yeah.
Well, yes, the rightful king is crowned again.
Yes. But the people, like, even after this, like, the people are still, like, really discouraged, and she can tell, like, something bigger is at work here. Something is not right. And so she asked Tor, do you guys still have the head of Maur, the dragon? Like, is it still here somewhere? And he says, yeah, we put it in this special chamber. And so she says, take me to it. So they go to it. She goes into the room. He starts talking to her again, like, just really bringing her down. And, like, so she figures out, like, this head is bringing the people down, like, discouraging them.
Negative energy.
Yeah. So they have to destroy the head. So they do that. And once they do that, well, they have to, like, get rid of it. So, like, basically they have to, like, roll this giant head, like, out of the kingdom.
For real, I think this would be an awesome movie at this point. Like, just imagining all of this.
So yeah, basically he has put a spell over the kingdom, and so once they get rid of the head, like, it's like the fog has lifted. Mm-hmm. Why are we all fighting each other?
Springtime again.
So yeah, so Tor becomes,
clear away that seasonal depression,
the king. She marries Tor and becomes the rightful queen of Daemar.
So she marries Tor, but she loves What's-His-Face.
Well, she loves Tor, too.
She marries him more out of duty.
And that's why this is her duty. This is her loyalty. She has a loyalty to her people.
I was confused by this, because I feel like if this were written in today's environment, she would have been the queen. Mm-hmm. And he was willing to give her...
Yeah, he tells her, you're the rightful ruler. Mm-hmm. And in their realm, like, just because you're married to the king doesn't automatically make you a queen. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to be given that title.
Right.
And so he gives her that title. And if you read, like, comments on Goodreads, like, there's some people that take issue with a lot of the things that happen in this book when it comes to her romance and her marrying.
It was written in the 80s, people, okay?
Are the comments from the 80s? Goodreads around in the 80s?
I don't think so.
They're not from the 80s.
I mean, they could have had a telephone hotline back then or something. This is the Goodreads hotline.
But remember, she is, like, I don't know what that means, partially immortal. But we're to assume that she eventually, like, once Tor dies,
she can be with Lutha. So she just gets all the things.
She gets everything she wants. Both of the men. So those were the things I took issue with, was that.
I too take issue.
I didn't think it was appropriate, her making out in the woods with Lutha in the kids' book. It's not appropriate.
Well, it's not a kids' book.
Well, I think people need to know that this is not a children's book. Even though it won the Newbery.
Even the website on the back of the book is penguin.com/teens.
Mm-hmm. Because it's a YA. I mean, everybody knows it's a YA. It's just...
I didn't like that we didn't know who this evil... Like, we'd never heard of this evil mage till the end of the book. And then, like... I mean, it took her effort to defeat him, but... I don't know. I just...
Yeah.
That whole battle kind of got over really quick. I mean, obviously, it took her a long time to get up the stairs.
That's what was frustrating. She went up the stairs for 7 years, and then the battle was, like, done.
Like, we know how Leah feels.
Could we not have done this at a lower level of the tower? Like,
or, like, on the Princess Bride when What's-His-Face pulls him up.
I just feel like I'm seeing him, like, up there, like, tapping his fingers, like, waiting on her to climb the stairs, and she... Like, that would be a really funny scene, I think, in a movie.
Right? It has that scene, and then next thing it's like, 7 years later.
Like, but legitimately, it was exactly.
He's like, oh, good, you made it.
Now we shall begin.
I feel like it would be a good scene for him to be, like, weaving, like, a large rug or something.
I've been doing this for 7 years.
Guys, we really could have helped this part of the book.
We could make the movie.
Oh my goodness.
We should get into filmmaking.
I really don't like that he was still the king. She did all the work to get the crown. And she legitimately could have been the queen.
Without having to marry him.
I just don't understand why we had to do that. Like, just be the queen. It's all about girl power.
Put the crown on your head and get on the throne.
I mean, that is her point in all of her stuff, is like the women fulfilling their duty to whatever. But to me, I felt like she did fulfill her duty. She saved her realm. She came back. She didn't run off with Luther. Like, she
did all the work. Like, without her, they would have all been done.
I just felt like it was a very disappointing end to a very long climb up the stairs.
There's Leah's review.
I need to write that on Goodreads. I really do. I never feel like my reviews are worthy of Goodreads, but I feel like that one is
good. Post it. Do it. Can you like reviews? Because I will like
it. Yeah, you can.
This is my opinion.
Oh my goodness.
Written under the heading, opinion.
She keeps turning pages in this journal.
This is the last page, okay?
And another thing.
This is Lauren 7 years up the stairs.
Yeah.
Go on.
Okay. Okay, so this is my opinion, and I need you guys to tell me if you agree or not. So Aaron, in my opinion, doesn't reciprocate the love that Tor has for her, and I don't think she does Luther either. I think she just gets caught up in the passion of that.
Yeah, there's not a lot about, like, actual love. Yeah.
The beginning of the book with Tor, it seemed like she was just kind of oblivious.
Yeah, she's totally oblivious to that. She doesn't even see
him.
Which
I can understand, because, like, they grew up together.
So they're related.
Wait, I mean, I think she views him more as, like, an older brother.
It's not an uncommon thing in this setting, Leah, for family to wed.
Growing up together, you don't always think, hey, we should get married. Let's hope that that doesn't happen.
I don't know. She seems more devoted to her horse than Tor or Luther.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So part of me likes this. I'm always kind of like that person, like, I don't need a man, like...
Yeah, but
I don't
at the
need
same
love.
Time, she's kind of stringing
but
him
then
along.
She still
then.
Has to marry him. Yeah. She does need a man.
But here's what I want you guys to give me your insight on. Part of me wonders if she's unable to truly love others, or at least love someone with as much devotion that is required in a marriage relationship.
Are you saying that she has
I'm not saying she has, like, a disorder or something. I'm just saying, like...
Whatever that psychological thing is called,
I don't know. She does have this sense of duty. So, I'm, like, it feels like it's duty over everything else. So, if duty calls me to marry you, I'll do it.
There's nothing wrong with that, though. That's just... Some people
no,
are just
I'm not
wired
saying,
like
I never
that.
Said it was wrong. I'm just saying, is this who she is?
Yeah, I don't know. Or maybe it just wasn't portrayed well enough, because even with her own father, like, I didn't get a sense of love from her for her father. Definitely respect and fear and stuff.
I believe her father really loved her.
No, I'm saying her in return.
Oh, her returning love for her father.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she always didn't... I think she felt she didn't know where she stood with her father.
I don't think she knew where she stood with anyone.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what it is.
Because he was always kind to her and loved her.
Everyone thinks that she's like this.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, she's insecure because everyone thinks she's the daughter of the witch woman. So she's a witch too.
I'm not a witch. I'm your wife.
In some way she is. I mean, she's a mage. She has, you know. But yeah, I don't know. Those are just the things I wrote in my journal.
Proud of you, Lauren.
Yeah, even the final scene. She just talks about how she loves Daemar, the kingdom,
mm-hmm.
and says she loved its new king and a part of her that belonged to nothing and no one else belonged to him. And it just seemed like, oh, this is my destiny, that I'm going to be with him. Mm-hmm. Like, it says that she loved him, but it also says her love and her destiny and her heritage were all double. So still saying that she still loved
Luther,
mm-hmm. but she could love Tor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not a great picture of
of marriage.
No. And I feel like it doesn't put her in a good light either.
Well, there you have the hero's downfall. I mean, if you
don't
love
him, don't marry him. You don't get to be queen.
She can't be perfect, guys.
She has this sense of duty.
Exactly. But I just feel like saying that she loved him was kind of cheating because it didn't really seem like she did love him. Yeah, so I would agree with you.
I never got the impression that she loved Tor. Maybe a little bit, Lutha. But not at all, Tor.
Rewrite.
No love.
But I did like this book. Like, it was epic and really exciting. You know, just along the same lines of stories that you would find in Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. Like, this could have been a story in the Silmarillion. There's, like, little short stories in the Silmarillion about Middle Earth and such. So, she definitely uses those Welsh-type names and words mm-hmm. when she names people.
Yeah, fantasy is not really my genre. I'm figuring that out.
But you made it.
I made it. And the story itself had parts where I really enjoyed it. But I don't think I could push through just because it's, I don't know. It wasn't enough to make me want to read more.
You should try it.
I mean, fantasy. I read, what did I read? The Hobbit. I enjoyed that. That's fantasy. Mm-hmm.
With like gazillions of names that all sound the same. And
see, my brain shuts down. You throw too many weird names at me. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, I have a couple of fantasy books like that where I'm like, just gonna put you over here for a while. Maybe I'll read you eventually.
See, this book did for me, though. I want to read The Blue Sword now. I'm very intrigued. I just really enjoyed, like, I was enjoying myself while I was reading the mm-hmm. book.
And yeah, right. Once I got past, like Leah said, the beginning part,
was rough.
I really had fun.
And I don't know, as I was reading it, I just kept getting, like, this feeling that I had read something or seen something similar to this before, and I'm not talking about, like, Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit or, I don't know, it just, right. I got this sense, yeah, it was something different than that, and I still haven't figured it out, but, like, I don't know if you guys get that when you're reading something, feeling like I've read something like this before, I just... Mm-hmm. And I think it was something I read when I was in junior high or something because my mind just kept, I kept going back there.
I've never read this, like little summaries or excerpts. Like, you remember like those books we had like in elementary where it was like little short stories? Like, maybe it was something like that, Lauren.
Yeah, a short story that was similar. Something similar, yeah. I don't know. It was just a feeling, like, however this other book that I read in junior high made me feel is how this made me feel.
Right.
Which is really weird. But
oh, so it was like a feeling.
Yeah, I couldn't, like, yeah. Yeah, I get that. And I still haven't figured it out, so.
I get that, like, with when I smell stuff and stuff, too.
Yeah.
It's fun. So.
I'm going to try to read The Blue Sword. If it's not good, I'll give it a few pages.
Let me know.
Then I'll put it aside if I don't like it.
Because I might actually read that. I intend to finish this.
Any last thoughts on this book?
It's fun. Not for your children.
Not a children's book. That is the takeaway.
This kind of makes me scared to read other books, like, back. Like, it's going to be hit and miss with, like, right. Just, like, boring and inappropriate.
And violent. This one was incredibly violent.
Yeah.
She's very descriptive about her wounds.
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
Well, the other books that got the honor award in the 1985 year was Like Jake and Me by Mavis Jukes, The Moves Make the Man by Bruce Brooks, and One-Eyed Cat by Paula Fox. So check those out if you think you might be interested in those. Leah. It's your turn.
It's me.
What's our next book?
Our next book will be The One and Only Ivan by Catherine Applegate.
I'm so excited.
I'll read this little blurb on the back.
I might go get it right away.
Ivan is an easygoing gorilla living in a shopping mall. He has grown accustomed to humans watching him through the glass walls of his domain. He rarely misses his life in the jungle. In fact, he hardly ever thinks about it at all. Instead, Ivan thinks about TV shows he's seen, his friends Stella and Bob, and painting. Then he meets Ruby, a baby elephant taken from her family, and she makes Ivan see their home and his own art through new eyes. When Ruby arrives, change comes with her. And it's up to Ivan to make it a change for the better. This book is for ages 8 to 12, so...
There will be no inappropriate relations.
And they're also working on a movie.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, isn't it going to be like CGI stuff?
Yes, I love that stuff.
CGI combined with live action. So yes. I think Angelina Jolie is being one of the people.
Being one of the people?
She will be one of the people.
One of the characters. There's other folks.
Yeah.
Disney's making it. So this is their... Second attempt at a Newbery winner.
Second?
Good luck, Disney. Don't screw it up.
No, it's...
They didn't screw up A Wrinkle in Time. They just didn't wow me with it. Exactly. I didn't walk away wowed.
Like, it was a pretty movie, but it wasn't like... I didn't...
I base
Don't
my...
Don't get me started again, Lauren.
Yeah, I base my... Whether I like a movie or not on how it makes me feel.
Yeah, and I didn't get that.
And I didn't, yeah, I left not feeling anything.
I was like, that was cool to see. Yeah. It was very pretty, but I don't feel inspired.
And I, when I read the book, I felt something. So I wanted to feel that in the movie, and I didn't, so.
High expectations.
Try again. Well, guys, should we let the people know how to get in touch with us?
Yes. You can email us. teamfriendshippodcast@gmail.com.
You can find us on Instagram at Team Friendship Podcast.
We're on Facebook, facebook.com/Team Friendship Podcast.
On Twitter at Three Friends Podcast.
And our website, teamfriendshippodcast.com.
You can find me on Twitter at Gracie Firstborn.
You can find me on Instagram, Leah Ranielle.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Mandy Millay.
Well, folks, we'll see you on another time.
And remember, friends, no two persons ever read the same book. And if you're Mandy, you made it to the intermission.
It's a fun story. I'm trying to think what they compared it to. I think they referenced, I don't remember. This is
good,
a great
story.
Great story. We just cut all that out. Next.
No, we're keeping it.
So I guess I should tell you guys the name of the book.
I know, I'm over here in suspense.
Just... A certain listener will be like, you didn't say the name of the book.
Google. Michael.
I definitely took an allergy pill right before this, so I'm like,
I've taken lots of drugs
whatever
today so that my cough would stop.
So
I took mine last night because it took me 3 hours to get to sleep because I was coughing so hard.
At first I thought I was sick, but then I remembered that they had said that thing about people with asthma.
That's you.
That's me.
I think there was an article about a pollen explosion.
Yeah, something about not going anywhere this weekend.
It's like nature is attacking us, guys.
So anyway.
Take that, humanity.
I'm blaming this on the drugs.
You thought zombies?
No. You want to pollute our environment? We're going to explode.
So anyway.
I can't even.
I'm not going to tell you
anything.
I'm
scared.
You should be.
Well, I have to find it first. I've downloaded a lot of things.
I'm going to have some jelly beans while we wait.
Excellent.
Do you want some jelly beans?
No, I'm paleo.
I don't know what that means.
It's a diet.
Paleo
It's her new name for herself.
I am Paleo.
We're using our made-up names now. Okay. That's a quote from Infinity War.
Spoiler alert.
It's in the trailer. So I will read the Goodreads blurb.
Goodreads.
The Goodreads blurb. I'll wait for Mandy to come.
Look, it looks like a blue sword.
Yeah, look at that.
Yeah, so I don't even know where to go from there.
Sorry. I got a hair in my mouth.
Get okay. It out.
Tell me if you guys agree with me. Sorry.
She's choking on jelly beans.
Jelly bean juice. Okay.
You need a cough drop?
I have some.
So I need to take a drink of water. It's burning my throat. So Aaron doesn't seem to recuperate the love that Tor has for her.
Reciprocate?
Reciprocate?
Did you write? No, I wrote reciprocate.
She never recuperated. Let's start off.
She also doesn't recuperate well.
She was so serious, too. She does not recuperate the love that he has for her.
I did write reciprocate, but it looks like recuperate.
I can't see anything.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, wow. All
right. Let's start over, okay? All right. So this is my opinion, and I need you guys to let me know if you agree with me or not.
I always agree with you, Lauren.
So Aaron, in my opinion...
It does look like recuperate, right?
Yeah.
Except for this CH.
Yeah, I just okay. need to read the rest of the word.
Oops.
Good time to cough.
Get it? Because it's part one.